employers were fined over £10.5 million in the last reported quarter for employing illegal workers. To help avoid the same fate, stick with us for the latest in our series of short podcasts to help employers get it right. Today, we're focusing on how to get it right and prevent illegal working. My name is Ian McRae. I head up the employment law team at Field Seymour Parks. And I'm delighted to be joined today by our very own head of immigration and right to work check guru, Imelda Reddington. Hi, Imelda.
Thank you, Ian. Guru? Okay, we'll see.
It's your new title. I'm going to speak to IT and get it on your email signature right away. So I guess starting with sort of the basics, I think most people are aware that all employers in the UK have to undertake checks on their employees to ensure they've got the right to work in the country. And I think most know they've got to do it before they start work. What are the sanctions if they get it wrong?
Okay, Ian. Well, employers could be liable for a fine of up to £20,000 per employee for failing to have a current document showing that employee's right to work in the UK. And even more scary is if an employer continues to employ a person who they believe doesn't have that right to work, they may be liable for criminal sanctions of an unlimited fine or up to 5 years imprisonment. And the worker themselves may also face charges of working illegally in the UK, which also has its own sanctions, including imprisonment of up to 6 months and confiscation of any of the money they've earned during that time in the UK. And you mentioned the fines that were imposed in the last quarter. Well, the latest figures we have actually are from 2019. And just to give you an example of what that looks like in our area, £4.5 million of that fine was imposed in London and the South East, which equates to 530 penalties of roughly an average of 17,000.
One of the other things I was going to ask you about, Imelda, was this sort of naming and shaming and the possibility of sort of your details being published on the web as well as of employed illegal workers. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. In addition to these numbers, these statistics being published on a quarterly basis, those fines were imposed against are also printed in a public register. So the amount of the fine will be issued together with the individual company, the name of the employer, their location address. So it's there really in a public register for all to see.
Not great for your reputation, really.
Absolutely not. No. And I mean, people automatically assume it's always the lower skilled workers. So amongst a restaurant chain or retail sector or these pop-up car washes. But I have seen large blue chips in there with quite substantial fines against their names.
We've talked before about how sort of sponsor licenses are ever increasingly more important for employers with obviously EU workers, who we'll talk about later, not having that automatic right into work in the UK. Is there an impact on people's sponsor license if they've employed someone illegally? Is there an issue there?
Yes, there is an issue, Ian. If you hold a sponsor license and you have two or more civil penalties, there is a risk that that license will be revoked. And if it is revoked, that sponsor must wait 12 months before they can even reapply for a license. So it's really important that sponsors are maintaining the appropriate documents with right to work. And these documents, particularly those who need visa extensions, must also be maintained and kept up to date. If a license is revoked, there is a very, very little chance of having it reinstated if they've proven that they have failed in their duties or failed in adhering to the right to work legislation.
We've told people all the horrible things that might happen when they get it wrong. As the podcast is called How to Get It Right, not how bad is it going to be when you get it wrong. We'd best focus a little bit now on how they do get it right.
Well, Ian, yes, we recommend that employers request the relevant document at or before the interview stage. Employers can do their checks in one of three ways. They can either conduct a manual check, an online check, or they can request the employer checking service, which is when they ask the Home Office to undertake the check with the permission of that candidate or the employee. And once the employer conducts the check, in accordance with the relevant guidance, they will have something called a statutory excuse against liabilities for civil penalties or any sanctions under the right to work legislation.
I'll chip in with my employment lawyer bit, which is if people are concerned about doing those checks early, i.e. Mm-hmm. before you've made job offers, etc., obviously they can keep it separate from whoever's making the decision-making process. So they can avoid that sort of risk of saying, well, you've discriminated against me because, you know, you were aware of my nationality from my passport or whatever checks you've done. It could be separated out. So that's something people should think about. The manual checks then, Imelda, this is sort of the traditional way of doing it. What's involved there?
It is. The check must be conducted in the presence of the candidate whilst that HR person is looking at the original documents. Now, employers must ensure that the document is one of those in the acceptable list of documents. And these are list A and B found in the current guidance. Now, if they're looking at a document from list A, this would be a document demonstrating a permanent right to work. So an example of that type of document would be a British passport. Now, this document would establish a statutory excuse for the duration of the employment. Looking at the list B, list B would demonstrate a temporary right to work. So an example of the type of document you would find under list B would be a biometric residence card with a visa end date. Now, the statutory excuse for reviewing a document under list B would end at the visa end date. So if an employer wants to avoid sanctions, this right to work check must be repeated before the end of that visa date.
Employers are looking at these documents, they're looking at these passports, whatever it might be. Is there an expectation that they're sort of experts and able to spot forgeries, or what's sort of the level of expectation in terms of these checks?
Well, of course, employers aren't expected to be able to identify good forgeries. What they must check is to ensure that the photograph on the documents they're looking at resembles the person they're looking at. If they do suspect any forgeries or see anything that looks suspicious in terms of date changes or things been stuck on the document they're looking at, they must report this to the Home Office. And in addition to checking photographs, if there are names that are different across documents, so that could be because they were married or divorced or adopted, it's up to the employer to ask to see additional documents to ensure that the names are associated with whatever has occurred in that applicant's life. The other thing really in terms of checking documents, and this comes up quite a lot, if you have someone who's had indefinite leave to remain in the UK, so there is no there's no time period on the length of stay in the UK, it's more permanent. Quite often you can have a stamp in a passport which indicates indefinite leave to remain. Now, it's no longer acceptable to accept that stamp in a passport if the passport is out of date. And quite often I've had clients come to me saying, well, we have this indefinite leave to remain and the person has provided a current copy of their passport. So it's very important to check, because accepting a right to work in a document that's expired will not give the employer a statutory excuse, and they could still be liable for financial sanctions under the right to work legislation. There is a way that the employee can have their leave transferred to a biometric residence card. This involves an application with the Home Office. Now, these applications can take about 6 months, and there is some costs associated to it. But you can continue employing that employee where they do have leave if you conduct a check using the employer checking service. Make sure you make a clear copy of who's conducted the check, the date the check was made, and keep a record and a copy of this on the HR file. The record must be kept for the duration of employment and for 2 years afterwards. And of course, if after your manual check, you've discovered that this person has a visa end date, please record the visa expiry date in a shared calendar and add reminders at intervals of 3, 2, and 1 month before the visa expires, just so that people are aware to chase up this employee at the appropriate intervals before that visa expires, and obviously to maintain that statutory excuse.
You talked about sort of the online checks as well, and I think they've been with us since about April 2018, but I think they're more sophisticated than they used to be. Do you want to outline the sort of the process for sort of the online checks?
Yes, of course. Now, unfortunately, the online checks are not possible in all circumstances. It's only candidates who have a biometric residence card or status under the European Settlement Scheme, or now with a new visa called the British Nationals Overseas or the Frontier Worker Permits. Plus, since the 1st of January, migrants who have used the ID app to obtain their visas, so their status will be electronic, will also be eligible for these online checks. Now, the important part about the online checks is the candidate must first access their online digital status and generate a share code, which they can share with an employer or a landlord or with the bank to do their, to, you know, to, for their for bank accounts. Now, the share code can be provided to the employer together with the candidate's date of birth to access the online record. The code only lasts for 30 days, so it's important to keep an eye on the timing of this. They can also choose to share the service directly with the employer by entering the employer's details. And then the employer will receive an email from the service if that candidate or employee has chosen to share it in this way. Now, also really important, where the applicant or the candidate or the employer, I'm calling it different names, I'm sorry, wherever this person has accessed their online status is not the same place that the employer must do it. There is a separate website for the employer to undertake a check called View a Job Applicant's Right to Work Details. And accessing this site is the only one that an employer can retain a statutory excuse and avoid sanctions under the right to work legislation. So it must be the employer part. And the Home Office does have an audit of these online checks. So if there was ever an issue later, the employer may be able to ask the Home Office to check that they did obtain the check from the relevant website. So when the employer accesses the site will show a picture of the candidate who they're undertaking the check for, together with the type of leave they have in the UK and the visa expiry date, if the visa has an end date. Again, in the same way, you check to make sure that the picture on the screen is the same as the person in front of you or on a video call, or however you're undertaking the check, and record the details. The employer must then take a printout of the profile and record this on either via electronic means or in a physical file, together with the date the person has undertaken the check and the person who undertook the check, because years later, you may not know who's undertaken the check. It may just sit in the file. And if there's any queries later on while the person is still employed or 2 years afterwards, it will be useful to know who's actually done the check. Again, if the visa are time limits, we recommend adding a note in a calendar, shared calendar, at intervals of 3, 2, and 1 month before their visa expiry.
You talked obviously about manual online, but you also mentioned this sort of third type of check, the employer check-in service. Do you want to explain when that might come up and when that might be useful?
Of course. Well, the third type of check requires contacting the Home Office using the Employer Checking Service, or ECS as it's often known. This check should be used if a candidate or an employee cannot provide a valid document to show their right to work in the UK, or if they have an application outstanding with the Home Office. Now, for some applications, the Home Office will issue a document called a Certificate of Application, which is effectively an acknowledgement of the receipt of their application, which is under consideration. Or a migrant who is waiting for a decision on an application could have the unique reference number to prove they have submitted it. So the employer can use this UAN or the Certificate of Application to prepare a request online for this ECS check. Now, employers must seek the permission of the employee or the candidate to have permission before they do the check. And the check will either return something called a positive verification notice or a negative verification notice. Now, a positive verification notice is the one an employer is after. And within that notice, it sets out the details of what that person is permitted to do. It has an expiry of 6 months. And an employer who retains one of these on file for that particular person will also retain a statutory excuse for 6 months, avoiding any sanctions. I would advise employers to record the end date of this PVN, because there are some applications which can drag out with the Home Office, which can go beyond 6 months. And if the employer doesn't undertake a check after this PVN has expired, they lose their statutory excuse. So they could then be liable for sanctions. So it's important to keep an eye on applications that could drag out for some time. I have seen clients, particularly those who have long-winded applications, and they've faced a £15,000 fine because there was a window of 6 weeks where they didn't have a valid right to work document or a follow-up with Home Office. So Home Office are also looking at, in addition to not having the initial check done and subsequent checks, they're also looking at where they're at any point in the process you're required to conduct follow-ups.
During the pandemic, right to work checks, particularly obviously manual checks, not being quite so easy. What's been the rules and regulations during this period?
Well, that's correct, Ian. During the pandemic, the right to work checks have been adjusted so that employers can carry out checks using this adjusted method on new or existing employees from the 30th of March 2020. This method allows employers to conduct a right to work check via video conference with the employee and to view their original documents on that call. The right to work check should be recorded on copies of the documents as an adjusted check and kept on the employee's file with any subsequent check that needs to be conducted. Now, the Home Office initially stated that the adjusted checks should be repeated as in-person checks once the COVID measures have lifted, but this guidance has now changed. So the current guidance states that current COVID measures will come to an end on the 31st of August, 2021, and that employers are not required to undertake any respective checks for employees who started from the 30th of March, 2020, right up to the 31st of August. And that also includes those who needed repeat checks during the employment period. So from the 1st of September, employers must revert to the normal right to work checks, whether that be in-person checks or manual checks, and view the original documents to ensure that employers maintain or retain a statutory excuse for the duration of employment.
So one other thing we've obviously had not too long ago is obviously Brexit, and we've had the end of the transition period. Right to work checks for European nationals causing a lot of sort of confusion. Obviously no longer an automatic right to work in the UK. Any further guidance on what employers are meant to do with their EU nationals?
Well, that's right, Ian. Yes, all European nationals must be able to demonstrate their right to work in the UK from the 1st of July. And those who have status under the European Settlement Scheme can do this by sharing the code with the employer or providing a biometric card for another type of visa permission.
What about those that have started pre-Brexit or pre-the end of the transition period or after the end of the transition period, but you know, before the 1st of July? What's the case with those people?
Okay, so employers who have continuously employed European nationals right up to the 30th of June, they are not required to carry out retrospective checks, provided the initial checks were carried out correctly at the start of employment. Now, this also covers before the end of the transition period, so before December. If employers can choose to carry out those retrospective checks, but they must not discriminate against any employees while they're doing those checks. So we know that employers are a little bit worried about the checks that they need to undertake from the 1st of January to the 30th of June. It is a bit of a grey area, and the Home Office made it quite clear that employers can accept European nationals ID card or a passport right until the 30th of June. Well, thankfully, the Home Office issued new guidance on the 17th of March in relation to right to work checks for European nationals during what they're calling a grace period. They are now saying that employers can invite their European nationals to share their status under the European Settlement Scheme using the share code. Those European nationals cannot be compelled, and they must not suffer any detriment for refusing to share their code. So employers, they must accept, as I say, a passport or an ID card as evidence until the 30th of June. What the guidance is saying is if later that employee is found not to have a right to work, that employer will not be penalised if the check was conducted correctly.
This is the bit I think a lot of people sort of struggle with, in that you've got this principle on one hand that you know, after the end of the transition period, you know, no automatic right for European nationals to work in the UK. But then you've obviously got guidance, which is saying that actually you can still rely upon, you know, passport up until the 1st of July. I think just employers are a bit worried they're going to somehow be caught out.
Oh, and I don't blame them, because the right to work penalties, they attract criminal sanctions, hefty fines, and could affect those with sponsor license. So, you know, I'm not surprised they're a little bit worried. I will share some words of caution here. While many employers will still rely on the European passport or ID as evidence of a right to work check up to the 30th of June, employers will also want to avoid the potential offence of employing a worker who they believe does not have the right to work because of the significant sanctions this offence attracts. Now, while there is no obligation on employers to conduct retrospective checks for an employee who started before the 30th of June, many employers will want to do so from the 1st of July. Given that COVID checks were also adjusted, there is potentially more reason for employees to want to conduct these checks again from the 1st of July. Now, the Home Office were put under pressure by many sources to change the guidance so that employers could ensure the stability of their workforce. So this is why the guidance now permits employers to ask European nationals for their immigration status now. So employers now can start to ask for European national employees to share their status and make sure at this stage it's recorded as a proper right to work check rather than leaving it all to the 1st of July.
So I best sort of summarise the advice. So starting off, I need to do those manual online or employer check-in service checks as is appropriate, and also ensure that you have your plan and you are all lined up for your new right to work checks for EU nationals from the 1st of July as well. Well, thank you very much, Imelda. Really appreciate you taking the time to guide us all through, which is a bit of a minefield for employers, really.
Thank you, Ian. It was my pleasure. And also, I'd just like to add for employers listening, if you have any questions on right to work or need any assistance, we do carry out on-site audits and training generally for right to work processes and immigration generally. So please do get in touch with us. We have regular webinars and regular updates on immigration topics and Brexit topics and a newsletter which you can sign up for.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do subscribe to these podcasts so you can make sure you get notice of future episodes. And if you head over to our website, you will be able to sign up to all the bulletins that Imelda's talking out there on immigration, employment law, lots of other things, and getting notice of all our events as well. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.